This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Skype could become a new Microsoft window on your PC.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now to the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. The tech world is keeping an eye on a big buyout that could be announced in just a matter of hours. Software behemoth Microsoft is reportedly close to buying the internet phone network Skype. It's a deal that's likely to be worth more than $8 billion. Marketplace's David Gura reports.
With Skype, you can video chat and make phone calls over the internet.
They were the brand that pioneered this.
That's Kara Swisher, executive editor of All Things Digital. She says Microsoft probably wants to integrate Skype into its software and search engine, into its video game console and its mobile phones. But Rupert Goodwins, the editor of the tech website ZDNet UK, suspects there's something else at play.
It could also be a desperate move by Steve Ballmer, the CEO of Microsoft, to pull together one big deal that actually makes sense. He's come under a lot of criticism recently
for ceding a lot of ground to competitors, including Google and Apple. Goodwins says Microsoft may just want to bring Skype's users on board, but he wonders how much they're really worth.
There are 660 million people who use Skype, but most of them will already be Microsoft users, so they won't be new to Microsoft.
But the company's been trying to focus more on big business, and some analysts say the Skype deal could open the door to the corporate video conferencing market. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Well, Microsoft's stock is up about a third of a percent in pre-market trading today. Let's do the numbers. Global markets are higher right now. European shares are up half a percent or more. Asian stocks added some value, too. Japan's Nikkei was up a quarter of a percent today. Middle East airline Emirates said profits surged by more than half last quarter thanks to higher passenger numbers. EasyJet, that's a carrier in Europe, saw more passengers as well. But the low-fare airline said losses more than doubled in its last 3 months. Wall Street yesterday, the NASDAQ tacked on half a percent. The Dow added 45 points to close at 12,684.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
China today reported a hefty trade surplus for April. The country manufactured and shipped more of its goods around the world while importing a bit less. That's pointing to strong global demand for Chinese products, but there are also some other factors playing into the numbers. Gareth Leather is with the Economist Intelligence Unit, and he's with us this morning from London. Good morning, Gareth.
Good morning. Hello.
How much of this has to do with the fact that China is keeping its currency values down?
Certainly it's got something to do with it. But if you take April's figures, but for the first 4 months as a whole, you've actually seen China's trade surplus fall compared with previous years. And so from the Chinese perspective, they can certainly kind of point to this fact when they're having discussions with the Americans about the value of their currency. But certainly the fact that China does run arguably an undervalued currency has something to do with the size of China's trade surplus.
I want to talk about those talks that you were speaking of between U.S. and Chinese officials in Washington. How is this news going to affect what's being said there?
I mean, it's obviously not good timing for the Chinese that they'd have been hoping, you know, ideally for the trade surplus to be a lot fuller or possibly free or there even to be a deficit as there has been for the first quarter of the year. So it's not ideal timing, but I think that the Chinese and also the Americans recognize that 1 month's worth of data can be quite volatile, and it's important to not to read too much into just 1 month's figures.
Gareth Leather at the Economist Intelligence Unit, thank you so much.
Pleasure. Thank you.
This week, we also got word about Germany's trade surplus, which surged in March, fueled by record exports for the month. The German government said exports and imports were at their highest levels since 1950. Now, that's helping a recovering economy that's expected to grow almost 3% this year. Quite a turnaround from the days of the financial crisis, when the economy was tanking and people were losing their jobs. Well, one German man who was laid off during the recession decided to trade in his stockbroker cap for a chef's hat. From Frankfurt, reporter Caitlin Carroll has more.
Thomas Braus lost his job as a stockbroker during the height of the financial crisis. He decided to take a risk and invest $80,000 opening a lunch stand. Now Braus serves bankers and construction workers sausages named after the major indices, like the DAX, the Nikkei, and the barbecue-flavored Dow Jones. It's a dream he's had for a while.
Because we are just 250 meters away from my old office, and I saw the need of having a snack point like that, offering typical German food.
He named it the Frankfurt Sausage Exchange. It's fitting for a lunch counter that sits in the shadow of one of Frankfurt's tallest banking buildings, where Braus used to work as a trader.
The business I would call delivery against payment business. So I deliver the shares and get the payment in. That's maybe the only thing which is comparable to the new job, because I deliver the French fries and the sausage and I get the money in. Yeah, but it's more real.
Braus says it's tough going, but he doesn't regret his decision, especially when he sees the stress on the faces of his former colleagues in the financial world.
The pressure to the firms, to the owner of firms, to the people, employees working for them, is still the same. And so I don't see that the very good times are back.
Thomas Hübner takes a break from his high-pressured portfolio management job. He's a big fan of the currywurst here. That's a combination of sausage, ketchup, and spices.
I think it's one of the best here in Frankfurt.
He says Thomas Braus's decision to go from stocks to sausages makes a lot of hungry bankers happy.
Yeah, from this point of view, I'm one of the winners of the financial crisis.
And if Braus's business continues to grow, then so is he. In Frankfurt, I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
There's a slideshow of Braus's place, too. Pictures that I'm looking at right now, as a matter of fact, that are making my mouth water. It's at our website, marketplace.org. We're podcasting. You can get the podcast at our website. And we're tweeting on Twitter at Marketplace Radio. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
England is said to be the most watched society in the world. 7,000 cameras in London alone. Kind of makes dodging a traffic ticket tough.
I don't think people like the idea of vehicles driving around with a camera recording them.
Big Brother actually is watching. I'm Kai Rizdahl. That story, the day's business news, and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.